Okay, as always, the Torah should be Leil Nishmas Rav Geshem and Rav Aryeh Leib. This week's parsha is Korach. Famously, Korach, because of his negias, as Rashi tells us, because of his kinna, he resulted in falling into the trap of Litzonus, of Apikorosus, and eventually of going alive into Gehenna. And as Rashi says, Maro Korach Lishtuze, Eino Hita Osai, Korach Shepikeach Hoyo, Maro Lishtuze. He was jealous, ultimately, Avada. He wanted Kirba, and the Kirba that he wanted may have been for correct reasons, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every person has their tafkid, every person has their designated responsibility in this world, and Korach wanted to go beyond that. And Chazal tell us that this is the parasha from which we learn one of the makaris, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Hey. V'lo yiyech Korach v'adosek asher dibar Hashem biyad Moshe lo. Issa d'oraisa of v'lo yiyech Korach v'adosek. There's machlokes rishonim as to whether this is an issa d'oraisa to be machzik in any machlokes, or if it's only a machlokes k'neged kohuna, and it's just an asmachta by others. The Chofetz Chaim in Hilchos Yisurei Loshon Hara and Psiche into the Lavin, and in Be'er Mayim Chaim over there, and in Sefer Shmiras Haloshon in Chelek Aleph Shas Chira, he definitely passes la halacha like those who asa any sort of machlokes mid oraisa. So issa mid oraisa to be machzik machlokes, nothing, not just to be machzik in machlokes k'neged the kohuna, but any sort of machlokes, whatever it may be. There's an Issa D'oraisa, and as the Chofetz Chaim himself elaborates, it's playing with fire. Rabbi Gamliel Rabinovich relates a sad story. He says that some years back, there was a terrible, in one of the states in the United States of America, there was a terrible crash, resulting from which there were fatalities, and there were two children, an older brother and a younger sister, who were left parentless, resulting from that crash. The fallout from this was that the brother, who was the older of the two and was already married, and the younger sister, who was at that stage not yet married, were left bereft of both parents, and a machlokas broke out between them as to who should inherit the house and the belongings inside it. On the one hand, the son said, I'm the bachur, and therefore I deserve to inherit it. There's no inheritance for daughters in the place of a son, and it's mine. And the sister said, no, listen, our parents bought you a place to live before you got married. You have your home. I'm with nothing. And therefore, magiali, I deserve to be mine. Cut the long story short, they eventually end up by going to Beis Din, and after whatever the considerations of Beis Din may have been, it was decided that the house goes to the sister. The fallout from this was that the result of this machlokes was that the brother and sister ended up not talking to each other. And they drifted apart and became estranged. The brother went on his way, the daughter went on her way, and years went by. Years went by during which the brother was childless and waiting for children. And he was advised that just as Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu were told, Kan Yatohoided Shom Atomoided, they were advised to go to Eretz Yisrael. Hopefully, there, the muzzle of Eretz Yisrael, or there's no muzzle in Eretz Yisrael, they would be zeuchet to children. And he emigrated. He went to Eretz Yisrael. His sister had no idea that her brother had gone to Eretz Yisrael, no idea that anything had happened with her brother, was unaware of all those events that were taking place. And such was the case with the brother. He was unaware of the sister's progress. She eventually ended up getting married. He wasn't present at her house, didn't even know that she got married. And their lives drifted apart and on. The brother who was in Eretz Yisrael was waiting, and wasn't yet zocher to have any children, and decided, you know what? So in the meantime, I'm going to open a yeshiva, and hopefully I'll be malamed talmidim, And those will be Kilu Yalde, those will be my children. And he did. He opened up a yeshiva which flourished, a yeshiva which was recognized, which was a coveted yeshiva. Many, many Talmidim passed through the doors of that yeshiva. Fantastic Hanhala in the yeshiva, a really special name. And people from far and wide were desperate to become Talmidim of this yeshiva. And devoted, he went from year to year, being Magadal Talmidim. And eventually he gets an application, years down the line, from an American bacha. An American bacha wants to join his yeshiva. Okay? He interviews, he prepares the boy, and this boy, as you can see, he's Miyud Lugadula, a young prodigy. You can see this child, there's something special about this boy, and he takes a liking to him. There's certain affinity to this Talmud. He accepts him in his yeshiva, and the boy comes over from America, he's an only child. He doesn't have parents there in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't seem to have any mishpacha. And Rosh Yeshiva takes him on as his personal project. Somehow feels a deep sense of connection to this new Talmud, and he begins to be Megadol this Talmud. And year after year after year, he's looking after him, nurturing him. And suddenly, in the middle of the Zman, the child contracts some sort of virus, some sort of infection. He gets a temperature, he becomes ill, he becomes more ill, he's unable to get out of bed, he's too weak. And eventually the Rosh Yeshiva calls the doctor, the doctors come and they start to check. There's some mysterious infection or some mysterious illness that this child has. He needs to be hospitalized, he needs to be put on a drip. The temperature and the dehydration that he's going through, he needs to be put on a drip. So they transfer him to a hospital. The Rosh Yeshiva, obviously this is his Talmud. Talmud, who he's personally taken to looking after, and he accompanies the child to the hospital, and he's there, and he's waiting. And the doctors then tell him that the situation has gotten a little worse than they were expecting. And really, perhaps his parents, or one of his parents, should come and be by his bedside. So he makes the call to America, he calls up the father, and he says, "Look, there's something here with your child. I'm not sure what it is. The situation hasn't got any better. They don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's some mysterious sort of illness that he has. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. But they've requested that a parent should come. So if either you or your wife could come to be by his bedside, the situation has got worse." And it didn't take long. The father sat down with his wife, and they decided that the father would go along. And he came, and he showed up in the hospital, and they sat together. During one of the times that the doctors asked for the two, Rosh Yeshiva and the father of the boy, to exit the room so they could do some sort of tests, the Rosh Yeshiva started to talk to the father, asking, "Where are you from? What's your background?" Just to inquire a little bit more about the background of this bacha, who he was looking after over these last couple of years. "Where are you from? Where's your wife from?" And he said, "Well, my wife's an only child. Really, where in the States is she from?" He tells her the state that she's from. "She's only child." "Yeah, her parents, they got killed in a car crash, and she was left on her own. And eventually, yeah, I met her with him." Something strikes a chord by this Rosh Yeshiva, that he may be privy to some information that the father of this Talmud of his doesn't have. He says to him, "Just tell me again, what was your Shver's name? What was your Shvigda's name? Where were they from? What was their background? What was the..." And the father's a little perplexed. It's not exactly the type of quizzing information that a Rosh Yeshiva of a boy in Yeshiva Khana would be asking the father of a Talmud. I mean, if he was in Shidduchim, we could understand, but he wasn't yet anywhere near that stage. What's this? And again, he's checking, and this intricate piece of information. And maybe this, maybe that. Do you know this? Eventually, he says, "You do me a favor. Ask your father. Ask your wife. Does she not have any other mishpacha? Is she sure she's an only child? Are you sure? Sure, she doesn't have a brother. She doesn't have any siblings. She doesn't have..." He said, "I'll ask her." Strange, you ask him, but I'll ask her. That night, he gets on the phone. And he says to his wife, "We have a strangest conversation with our son's Rosh Hashiva. He's desperately convinced, he's sure. Are you sure you're an only child? I mean, you've always told me you're an only child. Are you sure?" The wife says, "Look, I'm not going to lie to you. No, I did have a brother. And this is the story that transpired. This is the background." The next day, he comes back into the hospital. And he sits down with the Rosh Hashiva. He says, "Fascinating, you asked me that yesterday, but yeah, my wife said that she's got an estranged brother and no idea where, what, how. I mean, Taka, like you said, and yeah, this is the information." Didn't take long, the Rosh Yeshiva breaks the news to him that actually I've always wondered why I had such a strong feeling of a kasher to your son. But he's my nephew and you're my shvog. And you can imagine the shock. Man, that's what? He says, yeah. That story where they died in the crash. I'm the brother. Yeah. He says, listen, I need to call my wife. And he goes, he calls his wife. That day passes. The next day they both come in and in unison they've got, you know what, if the Rabbeinu Shalom has led us through these crazy, strange, l'malo midarach hateva set of events to this point, and we're both going through a midas hadin, the bocha's not well, been many years not deserted to children, maybe, you know, why is the Rabbeinu Shalom brought us here? It must be he wants us to make shalom. Actually, we should make shalom. And of course there was, that was understood that that was what was going to be. The man says, this is my wife flying over, your sister. And he says, of course, and you're going to be my guests. Rabbi Novish relates that the doctors of this child never got to the bottom of what was wrong with him. But from that point on, he made a miraculous recovery in a relatively short time. And within a year, this Rosh Hashiva was zocher to a child. Nistarim Darkei Hashem. He says, but one thing is, the Rabbeinu Shalom says, Klal Yisrael, Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. Every single one of us has an neshama, which is a chelek elokam imal, which really is part of that one big neshama called Klal Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu Shalom will sometimes do whatever it needs in order to push us to be misached. Because the last thing the Rabbeinu Shalom wants is that we should be bepirud. So it could be, Rahman al-Islam, through the craziest, strangest, perhaps even sometimes the most painful set of events. But ultimately, the Rabbeinu Shalom will see to it, will push us, will encourage us, and sometimes that encouragement may come in a little bit of a forceful way. Klal Yisrael, you've got to be ba'achdus. We've got to be as one. And the machlokas has, it's not just the love, but the Rabbeinu Shalom, the pain, kavyochel, that the Shechina has when there's machlokas, when there's period amongst Klal Yisrael, results in an oynesh and in a type of retribution from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it's kavyochel so painful for the Shechina. And that's why we have to avoid machlokas in any way that we can. And the Satan and the Yetzer Hara will try, because they know how powerful it is and how much it can bring tzara to Klal Yisrael, and how it is the antithesis of the Kli Machzik Brocha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. The Yetzer Hara will try and do anything and everything it can in order to derail us from having Shalom Ava V'Achva V'Shalom Vireus. And in fact, we can analyze, who was Korach? Korach wasn't stum. A lively guy from the street. Korach was someone, he had Ruach HaKodesh. He saw that he was going to have a descendant called Shmuel Anovi, who would be Shokul Keneged Moshe Aaron. He saw that. He saw that he would have Chof Dalad Mishmoros of Levim and of Koyanim, who would be his descendants. He saw this. He saw he had a clarity of vision. He had Nevuah. To reach the Darga of Nevuah, we all know the Mesilas Yesharim is Meyusad on a Braisa of Rapinchas Ben Yair. That talks about the dargas that a person has to ascend from one to the other until one reaches the darga of Ruach HaKodesh and Nebuah, and Korach had reached there. So we're talking about someone who'd reached the darga of the Mesilas Yesharim, and he fell. And he was convinced that what he was doing was the Shem Shamayim. He was convinced that what he was doing was the right thing. He got together Rashi Sanhedrin, 250, not 250 Tamidei Chachamim, not 250 Sanhedrin, 250 Rashi Sanhedrin. And they also were convinced. And it was the Shem Shamayim. So where did they go wrong? Because they were blinded by Kina, by Kovod, and the Taiva for both. And that blinds a person, and it makes one see things incorrectly. And for us, the Siman Muvuk was that if Korach could have gone that whole night prior to coming with the Machdos of Keteris in front of the Rabbeinu Shalom, and have gone that whole night ridiculing Moshe Rabbeinu, talking Nitzonis about Moshe and Aaron, putting Moshe Rabbeinu down, if someone is doing something in the Shem Shamayim, then it doesn't bear any effect. It doesn't have any adverse effect on another Yid. And if in any way it has an adverse effect on another Yid, It's pogea in the kovod of another yid. It's pogea in the sensitive feelings of another yid. Then it's a simen muvuk that whatever that person is doing, it ain't l'shem shamayim. With all the right kavanas, it's that road that's paved to hell. With all the right kavanas. But if it's pogea in another yid, then it's a simen muvuk that it's the wrong thing. One of my colleagues told me today that there's a kliyokor in Parshas Vayeshanu when it talks about Klal Yisrael coming to Moshe Rabbeinu to tell him that we need to send meraglim. Vatikruvun elai kulchem. Parshas Vayeshanu, Moshe Rabbeinu re-relates to Klal Yisrael. And Rashi there says from the Medrash, Vatikruvun elai kulchem ba'arvuvio. Ketanim doich vines ha-gedoylim. They came in a whole tumult. An incorrect fashion. It should have been the gedoylim followed by the zakenim followed by the ketanim. And here it was ketanim doim zakenim. It was what's it telling us? Maybe it's telling us, yeah, you came in a complete frenzy to send meraglim. So it's like, okay, no, you know what it comes to tell us? If they were ketanim or doich vimus hagedolim, they weren't paying them the right kovod. They were being pegeah in someone else. It's a simon muvuk that their intentions were incorrect. That the maisa they were doing is incorrect. And so that's sometimes a way of us measuring, the bar that we can measure ourselves with. Is if this is causing any distress to another yid in any sort of way, any pagia, then the maisa is possible. And that's what was incorrect here with Korach. With all the correct intentions, and with all the desire to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be a pioneer of Klal Yisrael, to receive Schar Lo'olam Vaed, to see he has descendants who are like that, it's going to be pagia in another yid. I just saw this afternoon, fascinating story, that Avnei Nezer was once in one of the resorts in Slovakia, and the Rav of that town, together with the father of Rav Shabsi Frankel, the Moitzil Oyer of the Frankel Rama, together with his father, went for a walk with Avnei Nezer, and He was relaxed. He had come there to recuperate, and he was in a very good frame of mind. One of them said to him, "Is it true that you, the Avnei Nezer, the Socha Chava God, you were almost married to the daughter of one of the big Admirim, and you ended up marrying the daughter of the Kotzker Rebbe? Is that true?" And Avnei Nezer smiled. He smiled and he says, "Yep." And you know what? I'll never regret that happened. Because my shver, he didn't marry the daughter of this famous big Admir. He married the daughter of the Kotzker Rebbe. Perhaps it was much smaller chassidus, or much poorer chassidus. Because my shver was an emes tikiyid. It was an ish emes. So then I'll tell you what I mean. So when I got married, the Kotzker Rebbe was an orama mensch. He said he lived in a tiny, tiny little one-room place. And when I got married, we put up a little wooden board across the halfway of this room. My wife and I lived in the outside of that board, and he lived on the inside. That's how we lived. We had nothing. One day there's a knock at the door, and there's a svarim, a yid, fakofing svarim. And he says, "Younger man, you've got to buy some svarim from me." He says, "What have you got to sell?" So he says, "I've got the Pirush of the Vilna Gaon and Shulchan Aruch." So he says, "How much do you want?" I think he said something like 5 rubles or 3 rubles, whatever it was, the sum of money that a person earned after working an entire week. So he said, it's finished. "No, what can I do? It's finished." So he says, "Oh, but, I mean, you've got to buy it. You don't realize this is what the value of these svarim. This is not much you'll see from the svarim. The other, I'm giving you a bargain." He says, "No, a chassidish yingaman who doesn't have money to buy svarim, but I don't." And from the inside, he hears his shver saying, "No. You buy those svarim because those svarim are written by. You'll see the gadlus of an ish emes. See the gadlus of an ish emes." He's got a choice. The Shvet told him to buy the svarim. The Hiddig of Kotzker Rebbe says buy them. His son-in-law went and he bought them. And afterwards, the Shvet said to him, I'll tell you what I mean. He said, the Mezritcha Magid, and the Kotzker was a Talmud of, he said, had a Talmud. who was struggling to put any, it was an extremely poor man in those days, the person had no money, he couldn't make shidduchim, he had a whole lot of daughters at home, just couldn't find shidduchim, and no one was prepared to entertain the shidduchim. So he went to his Rebbe, went to the Magid, the Heidegger Mezritcha Magid, the Rebbe of the Pnei Yeshua. He goes to the Mezritcha and says, what do I do? So the Heidegger Magid says to him, go to Vilna, and there you'll have Yeshua. Now, in those days, for a Hasidic Yid to go to Vilna, the capital of Hisnagdus, probably petrifying. If the Rebbe says that's where you go, and that's where the Yeshua is going to be, Mefolt, Megate, the Yid packs his stuff and he goes. Comes into Vilna. The Rebbe didn't tell him what to do, they just told him to go to Vilna. He checks into an inn, and goes and sits in the base of Medrash of the inn, takes out a sefer and starts learning from morning to night. He's fatifed in his learning. Talmud from the Rebbe. As we know, the Talmud, every Talmud of Mezrit Shemagid was steeped in Torah and Yerushalayim. Each one unique for his particular unique midah that he developed and that he was guided to. And he said, after 3 days, the owner of the inn comes and says, Yidl, I'm just wondering what you're doing here. But if you've come for any sort of business or any sort of, you're wasting your time. And this is going to cost you. You're welcome to stay here for the rest of your life if you want. Do you mind me asking, what exactly are you doing here? It's fine. You're sitting here and you're learning and you're not disturbing. You're fakir. It's a pleasure to see you. It's a chizuk to see you. So he says to him, I'll tell you, I've been a Talmud from the Mezrit Shemagid. And this is my predicament. And this is what he told me to do. Says the Yid, the innkeeper, says to him, I think you'd be best advised to go to the shul where Rabbeinu Elio gives a shir. And actually, that's what your Rebbe meant, because that's where you'll get a bracha from. That's the place. In Vilna, that's the place. This is to go to the Vilna Gaon. For Chassidus Yid in those days, to go to the Vilna Gaon, who had his tremendous vikuach on the Mahalach of the Mezrit Shemagid. Oh, but he thinks to himself, listen, maybe this is what the Rebbe meant, that I should end up in this inn where this Yid should give me this idea, and this is what I should do, I'll go and do it. He goes and sits down in the Vilna Gaon's base of Medrash, finds himself a little corner at the back, trying to be as inconspicuous as possible, not noticed, and behalten, and then he sits there, and the Gaon's giving a shir. There's absolute silence, packed shul. We're listening to the Gemara shir of the Vilna Gaon, they're learning. And the Vilna Gaon, in the middle of a Gemara, and in his unique way, he describes how he asks Akasha, Peledik Akasha on the Gemara, and the Shia comes to a halt. People in the room are trying, in the base manager, trying to answer, they try this way, they try that way, but none of them are a match for the Harifas and the Amkos, the brilliance. The Vilna Gaon's Kasha is a tremendously loaded Kasha, that whichever angle they tried from, they realized, that's because of that, and that's because of that, and the kasha still stood. And there was absolute silence, as the Gaon was miraculous, all his coaches, to try and figure out an answer. Our little Yid, sitting in the back, whispers to the person next to him that he had been in a shir recently where his Rebbe asked the same kasha, and this is the teretz that he said. He whispers it to the Yid next to the Yid, handles it, it's affected all the things there, it's talking about. Whispers it to the next Yid. And the next Yid, doesn't take long until someone actually stops the Gaon in the middle of his deep thought and says to him a teretz. The Gaon weighs it out. Who says this teretz? Who said this teretz? Where was it? And they point back to the Yid, says, Yid, who did you hear this teretz from? The Yid says, I heard it from my Rebbe. So, who's your Rebbe? So he makes his way right next to the Gaon, and he whispers to the Gaon with a year of a facha. He says, "My Rebbe is the Heidegger Mezrit Shemagid." And this is what he said. What brings a Yid like you here to Vilna? So he told him, "My Rebbe told him, this is my predicament. My Rebbe told me." It's just the two Yidin there. He says, "You go to every single base of Medrash and shul and home in Vilna, and raise." What's the sum? How many daughters have you got? How much does it cost to make? You raise a sum to be married off each of his daughters, but Ofen Mechubed. A Talmud, von Azar Heidegger Yid, mit Azar Heidegger Teretz, mit Azar Gewaldiger Havana, in Torah, and this is So the Kotzke Rebbe, that was an Ish Emes. That was an Ish Emes. There may have been a Vikuach on a Mahalach in certain things. In a Mahalach in Derech HaChaim. He was pondering over Kasha of Torah Kedosha. And here was the answer. And this may have been a person whose Mahalach HaChaim didn't fit in with what the Gaon was encouraging the people in Vilna to be embracing. The Yeni Yid had his Rebbe, and Yeni Yid was following what his Rebbe had told him, and Yeni Yid was steeped in the Torah of his Rebbe and had the Torah. That was my Shre. It may have been totally different, and in the Mahalach HaChaim they were anti, but this was Emes Yerah Darko, and that's Torah. You know, I saw there was the famous machlokes, the historical machlokes between Yaakov Emden and Rav Yonos and Eibeshitz. Years later, I don't remember who, but I saw that I think it was Rav Yonos and Eibeshitz came in a dream to one of the Gedolei Yisrael years later, and he said, "I want you to know that Rav Yaakov Emden and myself are sitting next to each other in Gan Eden. We're both being Nana Miziv Hashem, but all the Mecharchere Riv, all those others who decided to jump on the bandwagon and make a machlokes, not the Shem Shamayim." They are all have divided up Gehenna between all of them. Gehenna was taking care of them.
Who's the Baal
Plok Shabbat? Rabbi Yaakov Emden. And that fast is something we've got to avoid machlokas in any way. The Pasuk tells us, Moshe Rabbeinu, he tries. He tries everything he can. He says to Perek Tezayin, he says to Korach, look, the only thing I can suggest is you bring your machtos tomorrow and you come. And you stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what they did. When Shavina realizes he hasn't averted this machlokes, it's still continuing, they've all arrived with their machtos of Torahs, so he tells everyone, the Rebbeinu Shlom actually says to him, I'm going to destroy them all. Moshe Rabbeinu davens for them. Then the Rebbeinu Shlom says, tell everyone to go away from the Mishkan of Korach, Dosan and Aviram. What does Moshe Rabbeinu do? Before telling anyone to go away, he quickly runs to Dosan and Aviram to try and, maybe I can still save them from the Machlokes. Vayokom Moshe Vayirech al Dosan and Aviram. Vayilchu achar of Ziknei Yisrael. And that didn't work. So, if that didn't work, but Moshe Rabbeinu is still. Do you know who we're talking about over here? We've got the Gemara says, Omer Ish Lakish, Mikan, from this pasuk of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu went after Dosan Aviram, Mikan, we learn, Mikan, She'ein Machzikim Machlokes, Da'omar Rav, Kora Machzik Machlokes, Oyver Belav, Shenema Veloyia, Kokorach Vadosu. Said the Alter from Slobodka, just think about what's going on over here. We're talking about people who came to undermine the God Lado. They've come to undermine the God Ador. They've ridiculed him. They've done everything to undermine his whole ruling or leading of Klal Yisrael. And what does he do? Moshe Rabbeinu goes after them. And you know what Chazal tell us? Mikan she'ein machzikim machlokes. From here we learn that you're not allowed to be machzik machlokes, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu, had he not done this, would have been culpable for being machzik machlokes. It's mavil. Moshe Rabbeinu tries everything. He's tried. He's told them, don't do it. He's been around. He's tried speaking to Korach. He's tried. The Rebbeinu Shem says to him, that's it, done. I'm getting rid of them. If Moshe Rabbeinu at that point would have said, yeah, Rebbeinu Shem, fine, get rid of them, he would have been considered machzik b'machlokes. From the fact that he went and he still tried till the end. We see, says Alter from Slobodka, how far a person has to go not to be machzik b'machlokes. I'll just end. Didn't realize the time. I'm sorry, but try to speak a little slower. And to be a little bit more clarity, and especially because of the importance of the Inyan. Just tell you a fascinating story of Hersh Palei, the Mashkiach in Yeshivas Chevron, Zeich Tzad Levrocher. One time, some Bochrim, Chevroners, came to him. They wanted him to take part in one of the sides of the Machlokes, of whatever was going on at that particular time. He went to his Svarim Shrunk, and he pulled out a Tshuvas Rambam, and he read the following words from the Rambam. Al Teshaktsu Es Nafshoi Seichem B'machlokes. Don't. Because you know what it does? Hamachale haguf, hanefesh v'hamomen. Says the Rambam, Ra'isi mishpochois nisbechu. I've seen families swept away. Va'yores gedoilois nisar'u. Massive cities that have been left. the kibbutzim nifredu v'anshe emuna avdu v'nichbodim nekalu v'nisbazu misipa samachroikus. Says the Rambam, Nevi'im novu v'chachomim chochmu v'yosifu lesaper ra'a samachroikus. They went manabe, they told over, and they continued. V'lo higiu letachlis, so they haven't reached the tachlis of telling us how bad machloikus is. Lochein, this is the Rambam. Sinu oiso, v'nosu miponel, v'yisrachu mikol oyaveo. V'gamel she'er besarchem, oyhev medonim hisnakru. To go and tell your relatives, the people who like to peddle information about others, v'shekiv pentisofu b'chol chatosei. This is the one can get swept away in the oven of machloikus. The machloikas is something which we have to avoid with whatever we can. And just finish off with one dover toy. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says an amazing thing. Afterwards, Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael, and he said, "Vayoyim Moshe, bezois teidun ki Hashem shalachani, ki loy mi libi." I'm going to show you it wasn't me, this, and therefore this is what's going to happen. He says, you know what, what do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu has to come and say that he's doing things in the name of Hashem, they're not seeing. The Yamsuf, the Mon, Amalek. He said, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know what Korach's taina to Moshe Rabbeinu was? Korach wasn't stomach. Like you said, he had reached the dag of Nevuah. He said to Moshe, "Be'etzem Aaron shouldn't have been the Kohen Gadol. I know how he became the Kohen Gadol. You davened for him. Your power of tefillah made that he became Kohen Gadol." Says Moshe Rabbeinu, "Bezois teidun." I'm going to show you. Ki Hashem shelochani, ki loy mi libi. It's not avodah shabaleiv. It wasn't my tefillah that made Aaron, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice. But that was the emunah that Korach had in the power of tefillah, with all the sheker that came out of what he over here had been brought to, of a one hakara they still had. There's something in the power of tefillah. There's something in the power of tefillah that a person can daven for another yid, right? Not for his brother, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer. And Korach said, you know why Aaron is the Kohen? It shouldn't have been, and I've got all the reasons why he shouldn't have been, I have been, but it's because you davened for him. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll show you, let me leave you. It's not the Avodah Shebelev, it's not my Avodah Shebelev, if I can't, you'll see, and that if whatever happens, as he predicted would happen, then you'll know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent me, and I've done it all through the Yad of Hashem, and not because of my tefillah.